Please pray with me. God, open our hearts and ears to hear what you are calling us toward. Give us humility to learn and courage to respond as we hear your word today. The scripture reading today is Psalm 105, verses 1 through 11, and verse 45 from the NRSV. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is mindful of his covenant forever, of the words that he has commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he has made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute to Israel, as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sarah. All right, we're going to continue on with our study of Romans that we're going through this summer. And I want to turn your attention to our second scripture reading now, which is Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And like some of these passages we've had from the study of Romans so far, this is a really dense and rich text, and I'm going to try and go through slowly as I read, because there are a number of what I want to say, strong statements and phrases that we might be very familiar with. And so if we go slowly, we hopefully won't gloss over as many of them. But there's a lot going on in this text. And so I'm going to try and read it and give you a sense of the good news that we hear from Paul in the 26th verse of Romans, chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we will all be killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Lord, we hear this good news today, and so we know that we are not separated from you, but you are close. You are imminent. You are with us. And so, God, who is with us, we ask that you would open our eyes and hearts to the meaning of this text and the way that it sends us out as your disciples sharing that good, good news. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word, O Lord, it stands forever. Amen. So we continue on this week in the book of Romans, and we celebrate the powerful persistence of the Spirit of God, welcoming us home into Christ. And last week, we ended with a bit of a reality check that what we hope for is not yet seen. We wait in patience. And don't we long to come home? We can't wait any longer, can we? We say, how long, O Lord, must we wait? And out of the groaning of our hearts, we sometimes run out of words. Thankfully, today we hear that the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And I love that phrase. In fact, this passage today, as I said a moment ago, it is littered with some of the most powerful affirmations of God's faithfulness that we can find in Scripture. Those sighs too deep for words, those are the deep rumblings of longing and truth and hope that we don't even know are in us. They are the subconscious or the sub-subconscious. In our weakness, the Spirit of God, who has invited us, helps us find rest at home. A home that speaks for us what we cannot even utter. More than we even know, the Spirit is welcoming us home into Christ, our truest home, our deepest belonging of self and who we are meant to be. Not found in playing by the rules of the empire, but letting our deepest groanings be known and spoken for by the Spirit. And when we hear that this is good news, it is not just good news, it is very good news. For those who have found their home in Christ, when we are always a bit skeptical about whether we belong elsewhere in the world, whether we've got it right and all together, and if we've checked all the right boxes, for those who instead find their home in Christ, there is not a threat of being homeless again. When we've come home to Christ, we cannot be made homeless again. And yet life will continue to be hard. Because we live in a tension between our home made in Christ within the world and a world that is still trying to make us homeless, to untether us and detach us from that hope we have found. This is where the challenge of the Christian journey makes the most sense to me. Not that God is faithful, not that God is not faithful or just or good, but that I am constantly torn away or tempted to be torn away by lesser loves, other homes that look more intriguing, penultimate desires that will feed my need for release in the moment, but ultimately leave me hanging and hungry and homeless again. This past week, I watched a movie called Vivarium. It's a sci-fi movie. You can find it streaming somewhere. It's a bit of a mystery and kind of a mind-stretching story. This young couple ventures out with a real estate agent to look at a new housing development. They have this starry-eyed look about themselves, searching for the ideal home for their life together. And they also have the apprehension that savvy young homebuyers carry with them, They aren't about to be sold just any old house. It needs to be ideal. And I won't ruin the plot for you because it's an interesting story, but the thing I take away from the movie is that we often settle for a place or a home that makes us feel like we're checking off all the right boxes. It's got a good yard, a good view, the neighbors are nice, it's nearby a good school or a park. But what we discover is that is not what makes a home. A home is only found when those who inhabit it are at peace, at rest while they live there. Perfect architecture and beautifully manicured lawns may indeed hide a great deal of sorrow, anxiety, and heartache, because it's just a house. And that doesn't mean it's a home. And that's what I think we're challenged with in the Christian journey. It's what the Roman Christians were up against. They had to wrestle with whether they would accept that the empire was essentially making them homeless, and then instead seek to find their home in Christ alone. Now, there's a lot of reasons for us to pick the picture-perfect house. It's safe. It plays by all the rules of society. There are also a lot of reasons to settle for Caesar and the rule of law of the empire. It provides security, stability, and a sense of protection. And on the other hand, though, finding home in Christ presents those who follow with the prospect of being further marginalized, having to stand against the powers of the world, finding grace and mercy, yes, but also struggle and difference. When you push back against the stable home that the empire provides, you rattle against the status quo and the power of the dominant perspective. I think we're seeing a fascinating example of this play out as we've watched the COVID-19 pandemic sweep our nation. There is a strong sentiment amongst many who make their home in our country that our individual liberties and freedoms empower us to make our own decisions about how we will maintain safety and health amidst the pandemic. Specifically, we see this in the argument about whether people should be wearing masks in public places. When we find our home in Rome, in the empire, we yield to ideological practices and perspectives that say individual liberties are most important. That's part of what it means for us to find our home in the American empire too, isn't it? It's a generally accepted operating procedure. It's a practical way that some of our neighbors are living out their pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And friends, this is all well and good, except for when it contradicts another agreed upon principle of all being equal. And then, as people of faith, if you want to throw on top of this what it means to give your allegiance to the way of Jesus first and foremost, and in that, we then find a stronger contradiction to the commandment to love our neighbor as we would love ourselves. Now, the pursuit of liberty is fine, but it is also a tool of the empire to ensure that unity is harder to establish. An ideal we pursue in hope for mutual care and concern, which are very Christian ways of being in the world. And so it brings the question up to the surface that we've been asking in this whole study of Romans. To which kingdom do we belong? Which is our home, the empire or the family of God? And you may say that we can have both. Certainly, we can. Well, mostly at least. But there will be times when the priorities of which home we belong to will challenge each other. This is what the Roman Christians faced. They were not so much persecuted for having faith in Jesus. It was more that their faith and belonging in the family of God was oftentimes at odds with or contradictory to the practices of the empire. And therefore, they were challenged to examine and choose priorities. Is Jesus where you find your home, even if it means giving up some of the power and privileges of the empire? When you push against the normal practices, when you step outside the norm of that manicured lawn or the perfect career or the beautiful Christmas card photos of your family, and you adopt a pattern living in the way of Jesus instead, it begins to challenge your place in the powers of the empire. Unfortunately, the home we find in the empire is fickle, and it's more easily offended than the home we find in Jesus. This is the bad news, my friends. When you make your home in the ways of the empire and then step out of line, you risk losing everything: your place, your power, position. Continuing with the example of wearing masks in public, we even realize that right now the problem is compounded because we have lack of unambiguous leadership around this issue. So who's doing it right, friends? Should we or shouldn't we? It's not clear? Okay, well, let's divide and push against each other and live in conflict and confusion. This is a ploy of the powers of the world to undermine the people's collective action and the unity of people living in community that we are instructed by Christ to practice. So I want to say it practically for our context at St. James. We're going to ask each other to wear masks when you come back to the church building. And it's not to tread on your liberty, but it is because of mutual care and concern for one another that we abide by as followers of Jesus. And this supersedes liberty and personal expression. And we mean no disrespect, but liberty is less important than the self-sacrifice we practice in the house and in the way of Jesus. So, sorry, but not really sorry. Out of the empire, the disunity of the rules allows the empire to stay in control. And perhaps even it tells us something, that some of us don't belong here, that it's not everyone's home, and that we may be in fact pushed aside, and that's just okay. Now, thankfully, friends, this is the bad news. And with this particular passage, we find that the home in Christ is quite different. Once we've found our home in Christ, we will never be homeless again. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can make us homeless again. In the second section of this morning's text, verses 31 through 39, we hear the powerful affirmation of our permanent belonging in the house of God. This house is not going anywhere, and we're not going to lose our place in it. If we have been welcomed in Christ, what then can render us homeless? If Christ has died and risen and now sits at the right hand of God, then who can separate us from his love? No one and no thing. If God is for us, who is against us? Will God not give us a space in this house? There are lots of things we might consider threats to our home in Christ. For example, hardship or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, the sword. Or how about unjust laws? How about the lack of financial stability? How about offering sanctuary to the poor, the widow, the immigrant, and the orphan? How about our doubts and our lack of faith? How about our struggles? Those things might separate us from the house of the empire. They push us outside of the generally accepted practices of living, don't they? But here's the good news. The good news of the gospel is distress, persecution, instability, famine, pandemic, doubt, injustice, there is nothing that can separate us. You want a list of powerful things? Those simple issues have been conquered by Christ. How about these? Will these kick us out of the house of God? Death, life, angels, rulers, things happening right now, things in the future, powers of the world, height, depth? Really, like anything in the whole of creation? How about those? Can those things separate us, make us homeless again, kick us out of the house of God? Can I get a collective no way? No. Hear the verse again. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For I am convinced. Oh, you got to feel those words. Feel the strength and certitude in them. So few things can be called secure these days. And so it would have been for Paul and the Roman Christians as well. So few things were certain for the ones who would challenge the status quo of the empire, who would choose to stand outside of the rules anyway. And yet Paul speaks with deep conviction. Feel how those words would be coming out of your mouth. For I am convinced. Friends, when we've come home in Christ, we're home. Never forget this. Never fear that you do not belong. Now, certainly, we are a mess of We are a messy bunch of people, and we'll do things from time to time that will make each other feel like maybe we don't belong. That's what it means to be human. And then we say we're sorry, and we seek forgiveness, and we patch things up. But hear how different, how starkly different this is from the affirmation we receive as the ones who belong in the house of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing stops the Spirit who is working on our behalf. Nothing makes us homeless again. Not even social distance and masks. Not even race and bias and injustice. Not even differences in our own opinions. Not even our wars or our ideological squabbles. This stuff doesn't separate us from God's house. It might be useful to separate us from the powers of the empire, to push us into a state of homelessness and unbelonging in the world, but nothing stops the Spirit of God that is inviting us and welcoming us home. And what does that home look like anyway? Throughout the Gospels, Jesus explains that the kingdom or the reign of God looks like a number of things by using parables. Stories that invite us to have a greater imagination and understanding for what that home looks like. He paints very provocative pictures of what the kingdom is and will be and how people abide in it. Today, I want to simply synthesize those parables as I understand them and say this. The kingdom is here. The home in Christ is right here, right now. Because it's not about mansions or fields of glory or just making it to the streets of gold. Our home in Christ looks like you and me and all of us in mutual, loving, supportive relationship with each other for the glory of God. And it looks like caring for the sick and the brokenhearted. And it looks like singing together and laughing together and loving each other. It looks like seeing your faces here and now on this video call and seeing Christ in you. This is our home. This sermon feels to me to have quite an evangelical feel to it. I just want to say, welcome home, friends. Come on into the family. If we were gathered in the church, maybe we'd have an altar call and you could come forward and say, you are a part of being home. And I don't mock that at all. I say that in joy because I hear such a strong affirmation that we are being invited to come home and find it in Christ here. It's beautiful. So friends, would you like to come on in? We'd be so very glad for you to be here. And we so very much are. This is the good news today. Let's pray. Christ, who is our home, who is our peace, who is our rock, we thank you for welcoming us into your loving arms today. Now, Lord, may we rest assured in that. May we feel it in our bodies. And may we be those who would welcome others home, here and now, so that we might continue to get about the work of sharing your good news, being your reconcilers, here, now, today, until kingdom come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.